and pray. One of the characteristics of the abundance of the Word of God is that it gives rise to many different understandings that are all related to the text. Here, we would first think of the teaching that's also in Matthew 18, that unless you become a child, you're not going to enter the kingdom. And we have reflected on that, and it's always worth reflecting again. What is a child in that sense? Is it somebody who really trusts God, who is the father of everybody? And to trust God like a child, that takes great courage. We don't do that easily. We're quite willing to provide for ourselves, even though we're desperate, because we know it's not going to work. But to really trust God is a tremendous discipline. And it costs a lot to not be always providing for ourselves and really trusting God. Some of us saw last night, once again, the conference, the talk that Immaculée Iligabidze gave a few months ago at Notre Dame. She's the woman who was with five or six other women hiding in a bathroom 3 feet by 4 feet for 3 months, 91 days actually. They ate whenever the owner of the house could sneak food to them. Nobody in his own house knew they were there, because some of them would have easily betrayed them. This was during the genocide in Rwanda with the Hutu and the Tutsi. And what she learned there about trusting God. If you've never read the book, I would recommend it. It's called Left to Tell. It's a huge story of God's mercy and heroism on her part. But also, it shows you the essence of the spiritual battle. Tempted. You can imagine the fear and the hatred. You know, they were looking. In fact, they knew that Immaculée was around. She was part of a family. She had four brothers and herself. And her father and mother, who were well-respected in the village, they were both school teachers, and they wanted to find her, degrade her, and kill her. And so they were screaming, "Immaculée, Immaculée, we're going to find you, we're going to find you." She was only 5 or 6 feet away from them, and they were out in the street. But they couldn't find her because Jesus didn't want them to. Sometimes they were within a quarter of an inch of the door, which was being dissimulated because there was a bookcase in front of it. And they were in there so tight that they could hardly move. And they could never talk to each other because nobody in that house knew they were there. And what this woman learned about trust in God and about the interior battle, you know, to start to pray for these people, she knew in a dream that her family had been wiped out. One brother who was studying to be a veterinarian over in Senegal was left, but the rest of the family had been wiped out. And she could hear them screaming, not only just trying to kill everybody, but calling out her name. And she learned how to forgive them and pray for them. Now, can you imagine that kind of a spiritual battle? To keep herself fixed, she said the rosary all day long, 27 times a day, to keep her mind fixed on God. It was a rosary her father had given her. Just as she was leaving, he said, "Go over there to Pastor so-and-so's house." He was a Hutu, and he was a Protestant. But her father knew he was a Christian man. And he did take her and these other women and hide them in the bathroom and sneak food to them, sometimes every 2 or 3 days. They couldn't eat every day. But you hear the trust that the Holy Spirit's working in this person and the generosity of spirit, that she's praying for them even as they're screaming to kill her. Now, that's the heart of a child. That's the heart that trusts God and does what God said. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. So she did. Remarkable person. But it's part of this awesome discipline of being a child. There's more to the text, it seems. Let the children come to me and do not prevent them. Many, many scholars see there an allusion in the early church to infant baptism. This phrase, prevent, kirin, the word in Greek, means, for instance, when Peter is preaching, and the whole Cornelius' household, and they all begin to start to praise and sing and prophesy and pray in tongues, and, well, they've got the Holy Spirit. So what is to prevent us from baptizing them? And you see that it became a quasi-technical term for not admitting to baptism, to prevent. Well, what is there to prevent? So here, do not prevent them. But why does the kingdom of God belong to such as these? Why would we baptize children? This is, of course, between ourselves and some Protestant groups, not the early Lutherans, but some Protestant groups, because if baptism is a sacrament of faith, these children are too young. We baptize infants, as we should. Well, don't you see what that opens up for us? I'm just trying to help you see how this is not... see what I'm trying to say. Whose faith, into whose faith, or by whose faith are these infants baptized? The faith of the church. Now, our idea of church doesn't even include that idea. That because the church believes, it can baptize these children and bring them into that gift and surround them and teach the parents, helped by the godparents, to initiate this child into the faith which it already has. Now, you see, what does that say about salvation? You see, we're Catholics are always, and we do get that way, we're all going to earn heaven by our push-ups. But the very fact that we baptize infants proclaims that it's not for the one who runs or the one, it's God who has mercy. The child is baptized, this big, into the faith of the church. It's the same faith of the church that we pray every day, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and grant us the peace and unity of your kingdom. What's that faith of the church? We're asking the Lord. We are plunged into this powerful work of the Holy Spirit in all these people. In these people like this Immaculée, whose courage and whose generosity and whose love may be the reason we're here this morning. The faith of the church, all those people whose faith is so alive, the mystics, the martyrs, the generous people, the housewives forgiving their husbands and bringing back the marriage, and the faith of the church. And we're in it. We're in it. If you get very individualistic, oh, that person has to believe. No. Yes, of course, an adult has to believe. But a child is brought into the faith of the church. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church. What does that mean? See, this vast throng of believers. And we're identified. We're brought in. Look on that faith, Lord, and have mercy on us. We don't deserve to receive your body and blood. But if you look on the faith of your church, the heroes that are in our church, believing, and with whom we have the privilege of being brothers and sisters, and their faith heals us, saves us, ennobles us, disposes us to repent. Their faith What a different view, isn't it? Of what a human being is and what the church is. Look not on our sin, but on the faith of your church. Do not prevent these children from coming to me. Bring them. Let the Holy Spirit begin to dwell in them. And then everything that happens to them, he can turn. You know, the care of this child's mother when it's this big, that's God mediating. And this child now, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, can instinctively pick that up. This is God caring for me. And when they're old enough to speak and hear, I was just watching something. Oh, it was the same thing. They had a rosary before the talk that this woman gave on our DVD. And everybody said a Hail Mary, you know. And it was to hear old people, little tiny children, all saying the Hail Mary. What a power. What we share. This is why we baptize infants. It certainly is a witness to the justification is a free gift. Can't deny that. It's a great object lesson to that. But it's also an object lesson into the nature of the church and the nature of faith. In the mind of the gospel writers, you don't convert to Jesus, you join the church. You join God's people. You're led there. You know, of course you're moved individually and personally if you're an adult. But it isn't that I believe in Jesus, it's I join the church. I become one with God's people. How different. It doesn't absolve from individual responsibility, but it means that's where God is. That's God's action. That's God's people. And I join them. Baptism is being plunged into Christ. But Christ has a body. We are baptized into Christ, meaning the whole Christ. In that very text it has, huh? Just as a body has hands and feet and so forth, has many members, so it is with the Christ. Can it possibly mean so like Jesus has hands and feet? Everybody knows. It means so it is with the Christ, the church. I would really think that one thing we could do, just individually perhaps, maybe we'll give teachings on it, is to begin to grasp the nature of the church. St. Augustine says about heaven, it is one Christ loving himself. Unus Christus, amans se ipsum. What a vision. What a vision. So we should pray that we get this understanding. Because it's out of that that comes the uniqueness of this, like this Immaculée. Where did she get all that, huh? Well, what saints were surrounding those women as they were in there frightened? What prayers of others, whom she won't meet till she gets to heaven, were sustaining her? Who knows? But that's what it means to be baptized into the faith of the church.